flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
You might think financial crime is all about money, but sometimes it ends in murder. I'm Nicole Lappin, host of Money Crimes, a Crime House original podcast. Each episode features a thrilling story about the dark side of finance and how to protect yourself from it. Follow and listen to Money Crimes, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The Miami Herald's Omar Kelly is with us here this morning. Omar, good morning. How you doing on this Monday?
Good morning. How you gentlemen doing?
We're doing, man. We're doing. Dan Day is doing about 9 straight hours of radio today because nobody else works here. So he's holding it down. I'm only doing 4 hours today because that's all I got in me, Omar, after watching all those games yesterday. It was a lot of fun to watch. We'll start with the big one. And, boy, Lamar Jackson, for the second straight year, Omar, it's not his fault. He had a lot of stuff around him go wrong. And you talk about guys that are, like, the most steady players you know, Mark Andrews of all people. They said he didn't have a fumble since, like, 2019. That was the year they said. And he fumbles one as they possibly could have been going in for the go-ahead touchdown, Omar. They would have been in Bill's territory with about 8 minutes left in the game. So he fumbles there. They do get the ball back with another chance. And Mark Andrews, after an incredible drive by Lamar Jackson, throws an incredible pass into the end zone for a touchdown. Mark Andrews drops the two-point conversion. What were your takeaways from that game from a Baltimore standpoint? We'll get to the Buffalo side of things in a moment, but just from a Baltimore standpoint, what were your takeaways?
You know, people will say when Lamar Jackson's career is over, or if he eventually doesn't get to a championship and win it all, that he fell short of expectations. But, you know, he did it. He led his team to the drive. He led his team to the touchdown. So it's very interesting to see. And the two-point conversion, and it was a completed pass. And, you know, but these things happen. It doesn't stop the narrative from really being the issue. But these things happened. Mark Andrews has been a very reliable and consistent player. It's just a matter of, you know, it didn't work. It didn't pan out. It's horrible that's the situation that he finds himself in. But I don't even think they would have won even if they had scored. You still left a lot of time on the clock for Josh Allen in Buffalo. You know, I did believe that the Ravens were the better team. However, you can't turn the ball over that many times and expect to win.
Yeah, we saw a lot of teams turn the ball over this past weekend here. But just from a Buffalo side here, Omar, I certainly thought they took their foot off the gas pedal in the second half. Their play calling got a little conservative, to say the least, there. And they certainly let Baltimore back in that game. But they did just enough to get the win. And Josh Allen is heading back to play Patrick Mahomes again. But Buffalo's going to have to do a lot more, I think, this upcoming weekend than they did yesterday.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, I think Josh Allen's probably going to have to rely on his legs a little bit more. But I think the Bills, they've got a good chance. I don't think you know how I feel about the Chiefs. And we saw some questionable, concerning calls. It wasn't the reason why they won the game. But I'm a big believer that, you know, if it's even questionable, the Chiefs are gonna get the call, just because the NFL needs a dynasty. They need that power. They need that ratings juggernaut. And the Chiefs are that team. I think Philadelphia is probably the only team that can beat Kansas City. I don't think that Buffalo can do it. They're just not a complete team. Maybe if they were hosting the game, they could pull it off. But the Chiefs are a team of team destined, and the league needs them.
Well, let's go to that game. And you know what, Omar? I mean, whether you want to call it bounces or calls or whatever, it always does. It does. It seems like it always bounces the Chiefs' way, and it did once again. I thought the Texans played them tough. I thought C.J. Stroud did, you know, everything that he could. He was getting knocked around pretty good. But the Texans played their asses off in that game. But again, a lot of these things do tend to break the direction of the Kansas City Chiefs.
I thought Houston played a real admirable game. There were two opponents that really made me think about the Miami Dolphins and where this organization is and their failures and their shortcomings and why things haven't panned out. It was Washington and Houston. I mean, Houston, think about it. Think about how fortunate they are to have built a playoff team, arguably a contender, in two seasons. Mm-hmm. Two seasons. How long has it taken the Dolphins? What are we on? 24 years or something like that?
Track?
Yeah, this rebuild is in year six or seven. This rebuild started in 2019. We're in year five. Yeah, I'm not good at math. And then Washington, goodness gracious. I mean, they're winning with Michael Dieter as center and Noah Igbinogheni as the starting cornerback. So they're taking your leftovers, your bad players, and they're winning with them. But that's a totally different side note. We were talking about the Chiefs. You know what I like about that game? It showed that they had like 3 weeks of rest, 3 weeks to regenerate their bodies. And I really thought it benefited Kansas City because you saw Travis Kelce look like he was probably 5 years younger. Travis Kelce looked like he had aged the worst in the NFL last season. But when you get 3 weeks worth of rest, it shows you the difference that it can make for your body in this sport.
Omar Kelly here with us. Omar, I don't know how you feel about the running back position. I've always felt it's very undervalued. I really do. I think there should be more importance put on it. I think guys should get paid better at that position. And I think we really saw it with Saquon Barkley and Derrick Henry, the difference that those guys make. And I know the last drive for the Ravens, they had to rely on Lamar, and he drove them the entire way down the field. But the drive prior, Derrick Henry really took over, and it just looked like guys did not want to tackle him anymore. And then you saw what Saquon Barkley did for the Eagles in a game that the Rams, by the way, the Rams played those guys real tough. Give the Rams a lot of credit because they are I don't know how they did it, Omar. They were in that boat where it just looked like they couldn't afford anyone anymore, and everyone was going to leave, and they had no talent left, and they figured it out, and they look like a team that's going to be pretty competitive for a while here. But I will tell you, the running back position I thought got a good boost here over the weekend.
Oh, absolutely. It doesn't mean that the NFL is going to pay them any better or treat them any better. Unfortunately, running backs are viewed like the tires on your car. You get four, they start to get worn down, you get rid of them, you get new ones. You know, nobody does that to a car. Saquon Barkley, I mean, and Derrick Henry, those are two missteps and mistakes that organizations made. How the Giants ever thought that, you know, they'd be better off without Saquon Barkley, that's clearly ridiculous. Wasn't what's wrong with that franchise, but it certainly showed you that he could be a finishing piece. Howie Roseman and Ozzie Newsome, those are the two preeminent premier GMs executives in this league. And yes, Ozzie Newsome is still running the Ravens. Don't let it fool you. Don't let him somewhat retiring. I'm throwing air quotes up. I see him everywhere, and he's still doing the same job he's been doing for 20 years. Those teams added power backs, added difference makers, and it got them to where they were and where they are. And, you know, 2 years ago, the Eagles were in the Super Bowl. The Eagles probably were considered the front runners to win the Super Bowl, and they didn't. But they're a better team now. Hell, they got Vic Fangio out there coordinating the number one defense after, you know, his falling out with Miami. So it's a good organization ran by good executives, and their ability to draft well and select talent is really what's got the Ravens and the Eagles where they are. Now the question is, can they finish the job? Well, clearly Baltimore couldn't, and it'll be interesting to see if the Philadelphia Eagles can.
I think the Eagles are going to have a tough time, Omar. I think the Commanders are the real deal. Yeah, they look tough, man. By the way, to go into Detroit and lay it on that team the way that they did, I thought was incredibly impressive. It was the biggest spread of the weekend. They were the biggest underdogs of the weekend. But I started off by saying this, Omar, and I said that this was not directed directly towards the Dolphins. But Jaden Daniels is, to me, he's the reason you got to keep taking stabs at getting that quarterback, because the Commanders were as dysfunctional, as pathetic a franchise as we have in that league.
Don't forget a new head coach, a new culture, new philosophy.
Yeah, well, maybe it fits, but
yeah, I mean, there's,
but clearly Jaden Daniels is driving that thing. And it really is remarkable, Omar, that you could bring in, like you said, the new coach, new quarterback, and go from being one of the the bottom dwellers of the NFL to on the cusp of a Super Bowl.
Keep in mind that Washington had gone through a whole lot of dysfunction, a whole lot of drama, a whole lot of chaos. And don't think Ron Rivera's, it just fell apart on Ron Rivera. I think they were a playoff team like the year before. Sometimes when you have dysfunction and those kinds of things in your organization, it kind of pollutes you and distracts you. And, clearly the Dolphins have had dysfunction for quite some time and probably have it a little bit now. I don't think it's just a quarterback, even though I was one of those people who told you Jaden Daniels was going to be better than, the Caleb Williams. And I thought he was just a can't miss prospect. I did not expect him to play that well as he has this season. But then when they had the joint practice against the Dolphins and it was a red zone, red zone and goal line day. And he just scored touchdown after touchdown, after touchdown, after touchdown, after touchdown. And I thought to myself, whoa, this kid's got a poise and a presence to him. But then think about C.J. Stroud. C.J. Stroud had a phenomenal rookie season, and then he came back to earth this year. So it'll be interesting to see the development and the progress that Jaden Daniels. But I agree with you. You got to take stabs, keep taking stabs at quarterback. However, you also got to be in the right position to do so, because the Washington Commanders, they were selecting number two. And, look at the Chicago Bears. Look at how many times they've taken a stab at a quarterback and it hasn't panned out. So sometimes you just got to get lucky, too.
And Omar, as I watch all these games, one of the things that I think about is you, because you say it all is won in the trenches, and all the teams that are still in the playoffs right now are in the trenches. Coincidence, I think not. How did the Dolphins go about this offseason shoring up the offensive line?
I think it starts with adding two guards, adding two better starting caliber guards that fit your scheme. I think you do one in free agency, you do one in the draft, and then you probably, I think you have to have a entire draft. Not entire, but, I hate drafting for positions because I...
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
think that that's a recipe for disaster. And this organization has done it so many different ways, including drafting for positions. But I think that if you have 10 draft picks, half of them have to be spent on the trenches, offensive and defensive line. You do not, if you are not good in the trenches, you will not be a good football team. And you might get away with it in September and November. But when it gets cold, and when those run games matter, because look what happened in the snow. Look what happened in these December games. Run games matter. They matter in December. They matter in the playoffs. And if you don't have a physical team that can actually get after the quarterback and open up running lanes and stop the run and you know, protect the quarterback, you're not gonna give yourself a chance. And, you know, as much as everybody wants to put everything on this team and organization on Tua, if you look at it, he wasn't the problem. The fact that he has poor trenches on his team, that is the problem, and I'll never ever waver from that.
All right. Well, we know you're not going to, Omar, but I will ask you this, because we've gotten a lot of these texts this morning, and I mean, clearly you watched those games yesterday and over the weekend, and you know, the takeaway, if you're a Dolphins fan, is we are not close. And I don't want to say it starts at the quarterback position. That's fine. I will disagree with you. I know you're going to be here tomorrow with me, so we can fight it out tomorrow.
Okay,
but
all right.
The Dolphins are clearly not in the league of any of these teams.
Because they're not AFC in the league side. They're not in the league of any of these teams in the trenches. But last year they were, until you know it fell apart on them. But last year they were one of the better teams in the trenches. Set a franchise record for sacks.
Well, that doesn't help your argument very much then, because they couldn't beat anyone with a winning record last year either. So that kind of hurts your argument a little bit.
They beat Dallas. I hate when people throw that people just create the narratives that they want. Last year was a great model of how you can do it if you're good in the trenches and good in certain areas. Unfortunately, you know, it fell apart on them from an injury standpoint, and that's what happens in the NFL. That's why you got to make sure that you draft well, so you have good backups and backups that can step up and be ready for the moment. This year's team is not of that caliber. Last year's team was. The question is, how quickly can you get back to that, and can you finish better and finish stronger? And we shall see.
We shall see, Omar. I appreciate the time this morning. You'll be with us tomorrow, and we'll try to make sense of some of these things that we've seen here and how they tie into the Dolphins and all that good stuff. But thank you for the time today. Appreciate it. Enjoy the rest of your day, all right?
All right. Talk to you later.
All right, Omar Kelly, Miami Herald with us. We'll take a pause. Joe is going to stop by as well here this morning, and we'll get to more of your texts. A lot of stuff coming in. Dan, I got to tell you that I tried this morning to not tie this into the Dolphins. We had a lot of texts about it. And look, the sad reality is the Dolphins are not. They're not close, folks. I don't know what to tell you. You watch those games over the weekend. And by the way, every game, I think, for the most part, that was played outdoors. I don't know if I'm missing one, but those games were all in vicious weather conditions. You know, yeah. I just...
Every game I watched, I thought about that.
I don't know, L.A. though, man. I don't know, L.A., it's not, certainly not, doesn't snow in L.A. as far as I know. And they went in there and they played pretty tough against the Eagles. Like, it didn't seem to bother Matt Stafford all that much. It bothered Puka Nacua a little bit. He had that late drop. But, yeah, it didn't, certainly didn't seem to bother Stafford. But, yeah, it's just not, we're not close yet, Dan. We're getting there. Maybe.
We're working at it.
We're not at the moment. We'll take a pause. We're getting towards the 8 o'clock hour on QAM.